Welcome back to the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. The Leafs. I'm sure Kipper will be fired up this morning to talk about the boys in blue. This insider is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Nick Kiprios, former NHL forward, 1994 Stanley Cup champion, and co-host of Real Kipper and Born. The Toronto Maple Leafs are on their first three-game losing streak since God knows when.
How are you feeling, Kipper?
October. Not God knows when. October.
Okay. Everyone okay here? Three-game losing streak.
How are you, Kipper? Set the tone for us.
We're well. Yeah, everybody's got to just take a deep breath. Contrary to what Jack Campbell thinks, you're not going to win every game of the season with a shutout, okay? So it's okay. The effort was better. Just move on. They are what they are, and that's what people got to start getting used to. It's either, and I've lived in this town my whole life, and I've watched it as a kid growing up, and then I got to experience it as a player and as a broadcaster. They aren't, in my history, they've never been as good as some people think they should have been, and they're not as bad as they also think they can be. So somewhere there's a middle, there's a common ground, and Sheldon, Brendan Shanahan, and Kyle Dubas have got to find out exactly what they are and temper those expectations.
It feels like the highs are always really high and the lows are really low. Like we never
welcome
come in.
Welcome to sports radio in Toronto, Alex.
I know welcome. I'm new.
100 shows like, in and you just realized it. Congrats.
You
got it.
You know, it's either the world is on fire or they're the best team in the world. And it's sometimes hard to find that piece of grounding news or that game that's like, okay, like let's level out here. And was last night more of a, hey, good effort, but Jack Campbell didn't have a great game. Like, how do you evaluate a team on a three-game losing streak that you know is better but also has some flaws?
Yeah, for sure with the flaws, you are absolutely right. But you got to make sure you understand them first. And like, Jack Campbell gave them a level of goaltending that seldom have you seen over history, to be honest with you. His numbers were off the charts those first 35 games. And, yeah, he's come down to earth. But if you take a look around the league, you know, goaltending for most teams isn't a strength. And I don't know whether or not you want to go big picture here, but the league has been skewed towards offense. It's been towards Patrick Laine coming down the ice 100 miles an hour through the neutral zone and firing a wrist shot that few players in the world can do. So, again, I'm not suggesting that this isn't an issue with the goaltending right now, because it is. There's no question. The numbers since the All-Star break have not been great, and they need to be addressed, and they've got to be better. But if you really want to look at the Leafs' issues, you have to look at that blue line. You have to look at the fact that it is not Stanley Cup worthy right now. And Labushkin comes in, and you know, what do you think about his 14 minutes? And is that a game changer for the Leafs? No, it's a seat filler. That's what it is. He can come in and hopefully just hold his own. And I don't know, in 2 weeks, is he in the lineup? Is he with the Marlies? Is he playing 20 minutes a night? I think last night gave us an indication that he's going to try hard. He's going to be physical. Sometimes he's going to try to throw a check and miss somebody. And sometimes he's going to throw a check and actually hit somebody. Mm-hmm. But he's a bottom six, limited skill, limited skating ability. And you know, you just hope he can find a way to impact a few shifts here and there. But he's not a game changer, and the Leafs have to address what they're going to do moving forward, especially with Muzzin out of the lineup, and you don't know for how long.
Yeah, the Muzzin puzzle piece is a big one, but I also look at it and say, boy, 2 straight years where he hasn't been with them in the games that count, and he's been hurt all season long. You hope the guy can get healthy, but at this point, it's really hard for me to say that that's someone you can rely upon. I don't really know what the case is for that. But, okay, so you nailed it. This is the perfect track for this conversation today, which is, hey, all right, there's highs and lows. And, yes, are the highs and lows greater with this team because it's Toronto? It's the only place in Canada other than Montreal that, like, really cares about hockey and that really matters with hockey, for sure. So let's kind of just go through this and try to figure out what that is. Because we started today. We said, okay, what is the concern level of what is real and what is not? Like, one is the blue line. So let's just go here. You were one of the first people that said that they needed more like 2 or 3 guys. And I'll never forget that you got hammered on Twitter when you said that. And you were right. Justified. Vindicated. But... All right, how do you end up doing that now, though, Kipper? Like, it doesn't feel as though you have the assets to do it. It doesn't feel like the trade market is exactly robust with a bunch of defensemen. You've got this player in Muzzin, as I just said, is not reliable right now. And you've got the entire team saying, hey, we need to be better against the rush. And yet every single game, and you look at last night again, all of the goals, where do they come? Off of the rush, giving up odd man rush opportunities. Like, how do you think this changes, if at all?
I don't mean to burst your bubble, but it ain't changing anytime soon.
Rude. I don't like how you loved it. You loved saying that. You loved it. You just...
I hate to burst your bubble.
Yeah, you cackled.
You
cackled. Yeah, you like... I feel like you hear Sam McKee's takes now on your show all the time, and you hear Sammy, and he's just the voice of Leaf fans on your show, and you go like, ha, 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 Sammy, I'm going to stick it to you, sour Sammy. That's what that was.
You know, you're... this for the Leafs, this is like golf, and it's like Sunday golf, and you're in the back nine and you're trying to win a championship. You don't get a mulligan if you shank one in the woods or put it in the water. It is what it is. You take your hit and you move on. And there isn't a magic trade out there, and if there is, it'll be against the odds. There just is not any real solution right now. Can you plug a few things? Does Kyle want to go out there? Is it the Kyle Dubas that we've known for how long now? 4 or 5 years? You really think now he's gonna change everything that he's believed in? The guy has doubled down on this lineup, on this core group in the summer when everybody was saying you have to trade Nylander, you have to trade Marner, you gotta go. Like, he doubled down. Is this a guy now that's going to make this huge, bold move in the next 3.5 weeks? Or is he going to try to plug in more guys that are undervalued, that he thinks that are better than anyone else out there? And Labushkin's a prime example. No one really had him on his radar. He found him. Can he come in and be a difference maker? I don't know. Let's find out. One game is just one game. But... that's not Kyle Dubas's style here, to now be this deep into this lineup, have a philosophy. And, you know, it's kind of interesting, JD, I'm watching the press conference, and for a long time we've heard style of play out of the Toronto Maple Leaf, puck possession, offense, make plays, you know, everything was geared towards offense, high-skill offense. I listened to Sheldon Keefe in his post-game comments last night. Defense, defense. I don't care about offense. Just, you know, Tavares is lying. I don't care about the offense. They were better defensively. They were, and it's like, oh, okay, well, now it's kind of, it's changing a little bit on what you kind of think you really, truly need to win right now. But for the most part, this lineup is built the way it's been built for 4 or 5 years. I'm not sure Kyle's going to go out there and change anything dramatically.
Okay, well, Elliot Friedman seems to disagree with that. He said last night on the panel that the Leafs should be the most active team around the deadline. He mentioned someone like a JT Miller being available and potentially someone they might target. Do you think that's a good fit? Do you think that maybe they'll surprise you and really go all in at this trade deadline?
Well, I know that's really good for Elliot and clicks. I know that for sure. You know, and if you listen to me this morning, I'm not exciting people to watch a trade deadline show. So I get where Elliot's coming from. Mm-hmm. And again, that would be a tremendously bold move to go after a guy like JT Miller. But when I look at the Toronto Maple Leafs all season long, the least of my worries is adding another forward right now compared to the blue line. Like, you want to blow your brains out on another first rounder, which you did last year on Foligno, which turned into a disaster. And now you want to do it up front. If JT Miller came in, does that help you on the blue line? Does it look at the deficiencies there? And that blue line just still isn't Stanley Cup caliber. It's not. And that's where the focus has to be. So, and he's got less than a month right now, I think, going in. So that's the focus. That's the part of the lineup right now that Kyle Dubas is losing a little sleep over.
Yeah. It just comes back to me of how are you fixing the blue line. And if you can add up front and it becomes a scenario where you just have to find a way to make your team better, I think you have to do that. And there is something to them, Kipper, like, I don't know. JT Miller has always been a player that I think is a little bit more of a hard on his sleeve kind of guy. And I don't mind that bringing into a team like this. It's not ideal. I'm with you. I'd rather have blue line. I'd rather use assets to go get those guys. But last night, one of the things that really upset me is they come out and they're flat. You know, it takes a Marner spectacular play to get the team going. You just lost to Montreal. You just got embarrassed to Montreal. And now you guys are getting outshot by the Columbus Blue Jackets. You're getting hemmed in your own end. You're giving up odd man rushes again. Like, all the issues are cropping up. That sucked. It feels like, yes, blue line is important. Yes, they need that area shored up. But also, they need, like, I like the add of Lyubushkin because it's somebody who's going to lay a hit. And I also like the idea of adding somebody who just plays with a little bit more intensity because sometimes that's missing from this group.
This is a highly skilled hockey club. They're not a highly intense hockey club. They're not a highly intense physical hockey club. They are highly skilled. They have to beat you with plays like Mitch Marner last night. By the way, how many guys in the world can make that play, JD? I mean, that was spectacular. His ability to pick it up off his skate all in one motion, go backhand, forehand, and find Bunting.
But I watched it 100 times.
It was unbelievable. But that's what Leaf fans, and that's the expectations people have when they think that the Leafs are going to win a Stanley Cup, plays like that. And that's a lot of pressure on Matthews and Marner to carry this team. And right now, they are. Good on Bunting for jumping aboard and kind of rounding that off. Take that line out of the game last night, and it could have been, it's ugly. Right now, they're not getting anything out of Tavares and Nylander. Zero. And I get Tavares got some decent chances, and he's pushing really hard, but right now, he's going through a stretch I don't think he's ever had in his whole life. And we saw the frustration there, and they're going to have to find a way not to create more chances. They're going to have to find a way to put the puck in the net because that's what they're ultimately paid for.
What do you make of that frustration last night on Tavares? You know, he's been kind of quiet, obviously, the last little while, and last night we saw him smash a stick on the ice after he's missed another opportunity. Is that a positive that, look, he's trying, he's very invested? No, it is.
It's not a good look. You don't want your captain showing that. And I get the level of frustration he can have, but that's kind of, you know, that's something you'd see a kid do, you know, when he doesn't score his goal. Who doesn't love John Tavares? I mean, the guy has been a class act everywhere he's gone. He's saying the right things. Last night, you feel for the frustration, but you cannot do that. As a captain, as a leader, you can't show that frustration that you didn't get your goal. That needs to stay within yourself. The score is 1-1. You're right there. You are the leader. People are looking up to you. Okay, whacking your stick, goalie smashing his stick over the crossbar after a goal's been let in. No, that's not a good look.
Yeah. I feel for the guy a little bit because, yeah, it's a slump and it's here and so the ups and downs and blah, blah, blah. Maybe it's not the best look. I guess maybe I didn't mind it as much given that he's such a stoic guy that it's just like every once in a while if you have that outburst when you're struggling, I go, well, maybe the rest of the group wants to pick him up a little bit more because they see him like – now this is maybe on the other guys. Like if you're Nylander, you're Kerfoot, you're – digging in a bit more because you don't want your captain having to go through this any longer. Like, at what point are you not just saying as a group, like, hey, guys, let's get this for Tavares. He's our captain, and he's fighting it. Like, let's get one for him. We need to get one for him.
Yeah, and I'm not – I don't want to make it a bigger deal than it is, yeah. And you're absolutely right. There should be a sense that if we have to help this guy. We have to pick him up. We got to find a way to get his confidence back, all of that. And, yeah, he's the one that does get a mulligan on that one, and you move on. And he will get his points. He's done it his whole career. Can you make the argument now that, you know, he's getting older and maybe he's lost a step here and there? Possibly. But he's still a guy that creates a lot out there, and it will be only a matter of time before it turns around. But, you know, last night, you got to wear the brave face and show the guys that more than anything, it's about the W, not whether or not I end up getting a goal or not.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll rally around it and maybe they'll say, hey, let's do this for our captain, which, you know, you don't really need to give him too much sympathy, I think. But somebody that, you know, the team might be rallying around possibly is Jake Muzzin. And I know you're not a doctor, but I want to know kind of like what your thoughts are on somebody that's had multiple.
Could have been
a doctor. had multiple head injuries just this year. We saw him coming back, a delayed return. You know, does he need the rest? Is it something that you put him on LTIR and you look for someone to do a little bit of a fill-in role? Just your concern level with that and, like, what you might think happens next.
I probably think nothing will happen in the next few days, and then you just see where he is and how he feels. It is a concern that his last concussion was only a month ago. But people want to just jump to the quick conclusion, and that's put him on LTR and tell him not to come back till after the regular season's over, and let's go get a $4 or $5 million defenseman. It's just, it doesn't work that way. It's not that simple. And if in fact you do end up putting him on long term, and you go out and get a $4 or $5 million defenseman, what happens a week after the trade deadline? He wants to come back and play and deems himself healthy. You got to make sure that you know exactly what you're doing here, and I don't think you're going to figure it out a couple of days after he got hurt in Montreal. So, you know, the salary cap has handcuffed the Toronto Maple Leafs like many other teams, and I don't think anything's necessarily changed until Jake Muzzin decides he doesn't want to play in the next month or two or deems himself unfit till after the playoffs. But I don't think anything really changes, to be quite honest with you. And if he's home now and Sheldon Keefe has spoken about him actually doing better than they thought, then that really limits the Leafs' ability to go replace his salary for a playoff run.
You don't think they'd try to pull a Tampa or a Vegas with the little loophole?
Ailish, you need Jake Muzzin on board for that. Mm-hmm. And that that's not an easy thing to do, is go up to a proud athlete making 5.6 and a Stanley Cup champion and say, hey, listen, go sit on the sidelines and we'll call you back in the first round. Mm-hmm. And I think it sets a bad precedent if players are starting to do that, mm-hmm. because what you're essentially doing is allowing the team to go out there and replace you. And who wants that? So you're pushing me to the sidelines, and you're going to go replace me, and then I'm supposed to assume that once game one starts in the playoffs, I'm going to get my spot back, and I'm going to play my 20 minutes, and I'm going to be in a top two pairing. That's not the way it works. Not for guys like Jake mm-hmm. Muzzin. Maybe others, but not Jake Muzzin.
Yeah, I think it would just be a really tough, even locker room situation. The guy loses confidence. You're part of this team through the ups and the downs, like a marriage, right?
Exactly. Like I'm married to this morning show.
That's right. We'll let you go, Nick. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. We'll talk to you soon.
See you. All right. Have a great day, everybody.
That Insider was brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com.
So, I hadn't thought about this until we just discussed it with Kipper, but this is actually now going to be a bit of an indictment on Nylander and Kerfoot to me, more than it is going to be on Tavares. Sports is so much about, or so many times sports uses the cliche of play for the person next to you, right? Play for the person next to you. Play for the person next to you. Look to the right. Look at the stall next to you. Play for the person
beside. I've been told that many times.
I was going to say, how many times have you heard that in your life?
On the front of your jersey, not the back. Think of the people that have worn this crest before you, etc.
So how about you guys have a complete game together? Because you're obviously capable players. Nylander, mm-hmm. Kerfoot, and Tavares, you guys should be able to dominate a game. And if the two of you come out with an incredible amount of bite, my guess is that you can carry your captain. Nylander, let's see some playoff Nylander, man. It's been a little while. I know he scored those two awesome goals. Great shot. But guess what? Their line during that game was the only one that got outshot 5-on-5. Mm-hmm. Awesome results. Process, still pretty crappy. And yes, it's been widely overlooked because we've gone, the top line's going so well. They papered over a lot of the issues. I mentioned before, Blake, I don't think you were on the show, but I said that there is, I believe, now a reluctance to criticize Nylander. One, because it's kind of what's the point? Mm-hmm. He is what he is. And two is that he doesn't make as much money as Tavares. He's not the captain. And also the thing with Kerfoot is, I don't know, God, I've been hammering the Kerfoot thing for forever, but no one seems to want to engage in the fact that he's not very good, and everyone keeps doing the whole, he's versatile. It's like, he reminds me of the, if you have two quarterbacks, you have none, right? Where it's like, you don't know if this guy's a winger or a center, he's making 3.5, he's a $1.5 million player making 3.5, that's a bit of an issue for me. So yeah, has Kerfoot had flashes? Sure. But to me, those other two guys, they should be more in the line of fire with their captain, or they should at least be looking at this and saying, hey, every show in Toronto right now is leading with the captain and whether he's overpaid and whether his contract is bad and blah, 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 go on down the line. Bourne's breaking down his forechecks and JD Blake and Ailish are saying, is he a problem? Can he bounce back? Kipper's saying it's a tough look that he's smashing his stick. Pick him up. Pick up your captain. You want to show that you've actually grown as a team? You want to show that you can be better come playoff time? Then dig in and find a way to make this guy not look like he's not deserving of even $8 million a year. Like, God, just do something for the guy. Just pick him up.
Yeah, and I don't think you're wrong about the sharing that blame across the second line. And last week we talked a lot about second line, and maybe it's, hey, can you get Nylander to carry his own line, or do you bump him to the first line or whatever? And I think Kerfoot has avoided that some because, like, I think there's like an implied, well, yeah, of course Kerfoot's the worst guy in the top six.
The Logan, it's the Logan Roy. You're irrelevant.
Yeah, and I do think that the Kerfoot issue is exacerbated by the fact that, like, he's not going down to the third line, because that third line, as much as it's been framed lately that the Leafs have become a one-line team, I still think the third line is doing well in awesome. What's being asked of them, but they're not.
That camp pass yesterday.
Yeah. And they're not being asked to do a ton offensively. Like, they are who they are, and they're very, very good at it. So, but I do think there is, like, there's kind of a finger being pointed at Kerfoot just by way of, like, Elliot Friedman coming out and saying, hey, there's interest in JT Miller, because guess whose spot he would take in the top six. However,
yeah,
you
he's not playing on the fourth line.
Yeah, that's for sure. You're not paying another five. Yeah, let's make that a $24 million line instead of a $22 million line or whatever. So I do think that there's probably like a little bit of, you know, feeling of that on your shoulder if you're Kerfoot. But yeah, the narrative should probably be, and maybe Nylander having that two goal game kind of took it off of him. But that second line hasn't been very good with favorable deployment for a good chunk of time now.
I wonder if it would be different. Like, this is why these results do matter so much, and that I want them to get a goal for Tavares. I wonder, just as you were saying that, if... because I think people are afraid to do the Nylander thing, because he's just one of those dudes that the internet will feast on you if you ever even bring up that his play is subpar. And they'll bring up a million different things, and so I think that people are a little bit more reluctant to criticize him. I also think Nylander has been criticized somewhat unfairly throughout his career, and so it's a balance mm-hmm. of things, but ultimately he does not get criticized. He was also very good in the playoffs last year, blah, blah, blah. I've gone all over these things. But if Tavares scores two goals and it's still Nylander in the slump, how much of this is around Nylander versus Tavares? Like, I feel like it could be. I feel like we could be doing, you know, Bourne breaking down Nylander's back check instead of Tavares' back check if mm-hmm. one of those shots goes in off the rush that's a Tavares goal and it's not Nylander. Like, that's how this changes, right? Is that those two guys are on the same line. They're both stars. They're both part of the kind of core four, but only one guy is eating all the blame, and it's because two of his 25 shots haven't gone in the net and two of Nylander's 25 have.
I do think there's, for me at least, an added emphasis on the captain not performing. I just think, yeah, I've been a captain before. I think that you feel this extra bit of pride and ownership on igniting your team. Like, even when we just talked about, we need these guys to lift up Tavares. I said, I don't really have that much sympathy for him. Like, yeah, it sucks to be in a slump, but you've been given the captaincy of the Toronto Maple Leafs. That is like one of the most prestigious, you know, teams to be the captain in the face of. Sometimes you just need to dig deep yourself and be able to get out of a slump. Like, I know he gets paid a lot of money, and I know that so do some other players on the team, but I look to him to be able to get out of that. Like, that's part of your job, you know, that's your role on the team. You need to be able to find a way. So I think that there is an added thing for him, and maybe he's feeling the pressure more, but I definitely look, as a fan and as a former player, a bit more at the captain to be the one that's able to spark that.
I think that's fair. I really
Speaking
do.
Of captains sparking things, we're going to do the Wake and Rake, and captain's
Who's
back.
The captain?
Well, I just assume that we had our first ever win last night, the other night. So,
well, we had Bourne was added into the Wake and Rake last minute, and he won. Does that count? Come on.
No, we can't do the, it doesn't count when a guest loses, and then count when a guest wins. We gotta,
no, but I don't think that it can count as a winless night when it's only two people, because
okay,
we've gone one and two before.
But we'd never gone this. That was our ninth time having a two leg parlay because one of us was off or there was a push or whatever, and had never gone 0-2 before. Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, but push. But how many times without the push?
Still a bunch, because you had you were off for 3 days and Ailish was off for a couple. So we've had a few.
But every day I was off, you guys had Cuthbert.
I don't remember taking any days off. Where was
yeah,
I?
You were off in December. Like, you were home for a bit.
Oh, yeah, like Christmas time. Yeah, forgot. I was like, I didn't go anywhere. What the heck?
JD, you and I had one without Ailish where we went 2-0, and mm-hmm. then another one where we went 1-1. We had we had one where you were off, and it was just the two of us, and we went 2-0. And then we had a 2-0 with a push with Cuthbert, and a 2-1 mm-hmm. with Cuthbert.
I just still believe that. So – like, Ailish and I both won our bets last night. We went 2-0 on our best bets. But I don't view that as us going, like, the perfect night on the wake and rake because it just feels light when it's 2.
Yeah.
I wouldn't view the first time we miss.
There's data for all of this?
Yeah. Tell like Ian Tulloch yesterday with me going, we can account for that. We can account for that.
Mm. Well, let's recirculate our winning streak, or like let's go through the numbers after the break, see where we actually fall. I forget what our percentage is, but I'm sure Blake
has
been in the spreadsheets over the weekend. He can update us, and let's start a new streak. It's after the break. It's the Fan Morning Show, Sports Net 590 The Fan.
Big guests and bigger opinions on everything happening in Leafsland. Real Kipper and Bourne. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Vic, I think Vic is playing four songs at one time. Vic's like, you guys love what songs? How about four songs at once? Yes.
Put on four songs at once. Sorry, the podcast listeners. Actually, you know, if you're a podcast listener,
okay, only we heard it.
Welcome back to the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. It's Wednesday, it's hump day, and Blake was away for the last little while. Blake was away. And we went undefeated on all of our bets. We never lost a single one. You can't go back. We've deleted those podcast episodes, but you'll just have to take our word for it, Blake, and put us in the spreadsheet as undefeated over the last three games.
You're in the spreadsheet. You guys can admit it. You missed a little bit of my like fact-checking and injury report providing.
We did
and
say
having
that,
the
actually.
Lines and numbers ready.
We also missed not having basketball. Like, there was like one thing to bet on every night.
Yes.
It was hockey, and everything was ridiculous. Teams were all winning that shouldn't have been winning, and that's our excuse. The Blake's Book of Excuse, we borrowed it for a couple days, and
we
that was it.
Blake's Book of Excuses.
We're returning it to the library now.
You are back to collect your book.
It's got the little seal on it. I actually got a Christmas present that I could put a seal on my books that said from the library of Blake Murphy. And that's the excuses you guys were using. It's got the little watermarks.
Okay, so two things though. In our defense, Ailish and I, the only two winners from Friday on the Wake and Rake, right? And then yesterday we went 2-0. Did we go 0-2 on one day? Yes. But on aggregate, we're out here
pretty good.
4-2.
It's 66.7%. What we're talking about.
Yeah. And also, I think there is some truth to what happened on Monday. Yes, Blake, I'll give you the excuse of going into Friday that you picked last and you had to pick that game.
On a four-game night, yeah.
Yeah, on a four-game night. But Ailish and I had the same thing on Monday where we went, are you kidding me? There's four heavy favorites, essentially, where we're trying to pick out, like, okay, well, how do we even bet these things? It was an impossibility. Right now, I love the Wake and Rake, okay? It's one of my favorite segments. We always pick winners. We always dominate. We always make people money. It's why listen, even if you hate me, which you probably do if you listen to the show because I'm such a long-winded blowhard, you have to admit that you love this show because we give you money to listen, basically. Like, I give you not only promo codes, but we literally give you winning picks every single day. But these last little stretch, this has been one of the worst gambling stretches I can remember. We need to start March Madness early. Like, start March Madness a month early. I don't know. We need it now. We're in a hole.
Are we going to let Blake bet on basketball again?
Yeah. I mean, look, my college basketball track record is only bad on the show. It's only my best bet. My other bets are fine.
The Blake's Book of Excuses is back.
That's not an excuse.
Guys, trust me, all my other bets are good.
You guys, look, when you borrow
all my other bets win. When my girlfriend lives in Montreal.
Yeah, she goes
my
to
other
school.
Bets.
You don't know her. when you read the Book of Excuses, you need to read the title, like the thesis page, which explains what an excuse is, because again, you two don't seem to understand what an excuse is versus contact.
This sounds like you making excuse about your excuses.
I was about to say something nice about you guys, about the two shows while I was off and the picks you made, but forget it now.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fine.
No, I was just going to say, I have no issue with the winless night Monday. I have a much bigger issue with you two psychopaths picking dual 10 p.m. games last night.
That's
a tough wake and break play.
Mine went into a shootout, I'm pretty sure, too. Oof, boy.
Yeah. Let's just say this. I don't know if the games will be of high quality tomorrow night, but it is going to be so glorious to have seven NBA games tomorrow night. Real games to bet on, including our Bulls, our Grizzlies, our Cavs, all the teams we've made a ton of money on. The fade on the Celtics. Yeah, I mean, look, those are the four teams we've made a bunch of. They're the most frequent NBA picks in the old spreadsheet. So,
can I tell you guys something? I actually have my picks for tomorrow's Wake and Rake.
Already?
Because I love the NBA slate tomorrow, and I hate the gambling slate tonight. Tonight's gambling slate is terrible.
Five NHL games, no NBA games. I believe three of the NHL games are heavy, heavy favorites, and then one is a coin flip. So you're looking at, like, that Stars game is the only favorite that is, like, less than minus 200 that isn't the coin flip.
So I'm getting
game.
Creative tonight, so.
Yeah, so there's five NHL games. It is a big NCAA slate. I might have to buy. I might, like, you guys have grounded
me from
NCAA picks. Okay, how
about this? If we give you an opportunity tonight.
And
if we give you an opportunity tonight to bet on college basketball and you hit, I think you've redeemed yourself. Yeah. But if you miss tonight, you never speak the words college, NCAA, basketball, anything.
Well, I'm not going to be able to not speak about that because we're almost at March Madness, and then the NBA draft will come around. So let's see what's left on the table, because I have two hockey picks I'd be okay with. So let's see if they're still on the board. Otherwise, I have some backup NCAA picks. Ailish, what are you feeling tonight?
Okay, so I scoured the lines, and they all suck. But the one thing that I am going to add to the Wake and Rake is the Buffalo Sabres and Montreal Canadiens over. It's over six. They both have not the greatest goaltending over the last couple games. They've been 17 goals scored in two games in a Sabres game. And then the Canadiens had 5 and 7 over the last two games. Either for or against, high-scoring games between these two, I could see it being following suit. So I'm going to go with over on the Sabres and Canadiens, and it's a 7:30 game. So you know what? I'm giving everybody a little bit of a earlier night.
Mercy. So that's at six even. So a six exactly would push. I like this because it's like a It's the opposite of the goals. Yeah, the unstoppable force versus the immovable object. It's the opposite of that, where it's just two big trains of suck, and we'll see if it turns into a suck fest of 0-0 or a suck fest of like 6-5. I like it.
Thank you,
Blake. Do you want to go first with your picks, or do you want me to go?
I don't care. It's up to you.
Okay. Because here's the thing. I think you and I should both pick college basketball tonight, all right?
Okay.
I think that tonight Just hear me out. I am the apple in the Garden of Eden when it comes to poisoning this year with college basketball. And the NBA comes back tomorrow. The NHL will level out. There's too many heavy favorites. Blake really – and this is why, again, you know what, Blake? What I miss is that – sometimes you bring up stuff that really shoves it in people's faces about bad bets. And this year, betting for regulation wins in hockey has, you pointed out, hey, it's actually not as good as you think it is. Like, I know everybody thinks that wins in regulation is the way to play this, but in actuality, no. And since then, our show, I think, has shifted the tune a little bit of avoiding those bets a little bit more when we can. You have to do that if you're betting the NHL tonight in terms of Wake and Rake, all right? Or a different kind of parlay.
And the only one that is of interest to me in that is the Avs in regulation against the Wings. And even the Wings, though, they've been winning a little bit more lately, and the Avs have come off. So,
sneaky.
But that's the only one that I see, though, really is.
Okay. So... this is going to be – so I'm just proposing that we go to college basketball Because, one, we need to exorcise the demons. We need to exorcise the demons.
Yeah, they're out of shape. We need to exorcise them.
Yes, they've got to hit the treadmill because it's close. It's February 23rd, okay? We're a week away from March.
Yeah.
All right? The most important time of the year. Do you know what I have done already? Is take the Friday off the first weekend of March Madness because guess who's going to be drinking in the bar Thursday night watching games the entire night? This guy. Wait, I planned it out like it was Christmas.
Okay, so I have plans for the Friday. I have an annual thing with buddies from university where we watch the first day, and it's like an all-day drinking and everything. But because of this show, I requested to move it to Friday this year instead of Thursday.
Yeah.
Because I was very excited to come in and do the first day after March Madness with you. This feels like a betrayal.
I'll call you from the bar. opens up at 9 a.m.
We'll not be at the bar at 6
a.m. No, I'll wake up there. I will wake up there. Anyways, my college basketball pick is all narrative, baby, baby. The Michigan Wolverines just got embarrassed. They got smoked by Wisconsin. They lost 77-63, and their head coach got suspended for the rest of the year because he smacked the opposing coach on the Wisconsin Badgers. Juwan Howard, Dunzo, got in his feelings, did a smack, to the point where now we're not only legislating whether or not hockey bags should be carried by children, we're also discussing whether or not we should abolish handshake lines. Ridiculous. Thank you, Tom Izzo. I loved your weird but effective rant. I'm going with the Michigan Wolverines. I'm laying the points tonight against Rutgers. You cannot have a demoralizing loss like that and then come back and lay another egg. You can't do it. You just can't.
The Leafs just did it.
Yep. And guess what? There's kind of a sneaky, like, when we do Leafs parallels, there's like 25 teams you can do Leafs parallels with. It's like the 76ers have fit that mold when they've choked out of the playoffs. The Knicks have fit that mold. They get that sometimes. I actually think that there's some Michigan Wolverines stuff to the Toronto Maple Leafs. But
okay.
I'm going with the Michigan Wolverines. I think that they're going to spank Rutgers tonight. So I'm laying the 4.5 points, and I'm going to take them. They're going to win by 5 or more. Let's go Michigan. Let's go Blue.
Also don't mind the under in that game at 135.5. They're both very slow-paced teams with very good defenses. That's a really low over-under for the way those teams play, but like when you dive into the metrics, adjusted tempo and adjusted defense, they both come out as underplays. So thank you to KenPom for that. So yeah, I don't mind that one. I actually had it queued up as one of my potential NCAA bets. So we're on the same page there.
Okay. Big moment.
Dead. We could be dead.
Yeah. What's that? Sorry.
Dun 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 dun.
What did you say?
We could be dead.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, we could always be dead. That's the that's the risk you take. So I hate betting on Duke. However,
they lost to this opponent too earlier in the year.
Yeah, but that can go both ways, right? Like LSU's a big dog at Kentucky tonight. And it's a battle of like LSU's the number 3 defense on an adjusted basis and Kentucky's the number 4 offense. And like LSU beat them before, but LSU also beat a ranked Tennessee team and then got blown out by them. Like, I think that's always tough because like, it's on one hand, yes, you've shown you can beat them. On the other hand, it's, are you going to beat them twice? Like probably not. If you played,
can't believe you're not picking Wisconsin. I thought
they're on my sheet, and I did. Yeah, I'm specifically not picking them because
you and Danielle, you guys with your Wisconsin stuff.
Wisconsin. The only time I've bet them on this, I've thrown them out there as like an extra bet before, but I've only put them in the Wake and Rake once, and they won for us. So. Maybe I will go that way, just as a moral. I was coin flipping between these two, and I just like I can't bring myself to morally.
No, here's bet the thing, though. No, you have to because we have a rule already, which is you got to go with your first.
You pick
intuition.
It. You got to go with it. Don't let us convince you.
Okay, so it's Duke minus 4.5, and again, the logic there is Virginia's pretty mediocre. They do grind it out pace wise, and you worry about a team that grinds it out pace wise and has a decent defense that. You know, maybe this is going to be close enough and low scoring enough that the cover's tough, but it's only 4.5. That's a 2-possession game. Armand Franklin is questionable for Virginia. That's 12 points a game right there that they could be missing. And then Duke is just like, they've actually been by Duke standards a really good defense this year, but they're also a top 10 offense. They're a bit of a thresher. And Virginia's been pretty underwhelmed. Like, Virginia is the 73rd ranked team in the country by KenPom. So it's a pretty big mismatch in that regard. Duke comes in at ninth. So I don't mind giving up the 4.5 points there.
Yeah.
I do like Wisconsin too, though. Of course I do.
Yeah. I'm just going to throw out some random ones I like tonight. I like Xavier, the Musketeers. They're at Providence and they're underdogs. I just think those teams are dead even. And so you get a little underdog pick there. I'm going to take them. Xavier's going to be one of those teams that I pick going deep in the tournament this year, depending on their bracket,
X
I guess.
X going to give it to you. Yeah.
Yeah. X going to give it to you. No doubt about it. Anyway, I like all these picks. We're going to lose them all. But yeah, that's what we do here.
One other one.
Ailish, yours is going to win.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sorry, I just realized that you guys couldn't see me. One other one I like is Iowa State, West Virginia, the under in that one as well. Mm-hmm. They're really closely matched teams. They're both below average pace, and they're both very good defenses and mediocre offenses. So it's a very low over-under, like it's priced accurately, but neither of those two teams score particularly well, and they're both very good defensively. So that'd be another one I'd keep an eye on.
So our producer is a huge college basketball fan, but his picks are always wrong. It's incredible.
That's fair.
No, oh my God, he's always wrong. I cannot tell you the amount of money that I've lost thinking that Daniele was a sharp with college basketball. The problem is I go, okay, I feel emboldened by this now. Daniele, just write in the chat because I don't think that your mic is already set up because you're not at the office today. Just write in the chat if you like our picks or not. It's like a Ouija board. Like, let me see. Daniele, do you like our
picks? Trying to shake Daniele like an eight ball right now.
Yeah.
Outlook not so good.
I don't know. No comment sounds bad.
Here. Yeah. He's not here. Okay. I don't think so. Sorry. Yeah,
damn it. That's a bummer.
Let's recap our wake and rake.
Because I was going to say, I'm locking these picks in if Daniele, like them, then they're going to win. And if he likes them, we're dead meat. Because if Blake, myself, and Daniele, the three biggest college basketball losers who have ever walked the face of the earth, all like the same three picks, we're dead. We're all dead. So anyway, caution. Caution on these picks. Yeah. Oh, I thought he just wrote. I got so excited. He didn't.
To review, we've got Sabres, Habs over 6, Michigan minus 5, and Duke minus 4.5.
Yeah. Okay. So
I thought it was Michigan minus 4.5.
I had it at minus 5. What do you have it at, JD?
I have it at minus 4.5.
Okay, we'll go 4.5 then. We might just be looking at different books.
Yeah, because, I also actually have I had Duke at minus 5.
Oh, I have it at minus 4.5. So there you go. Shop around. Shop around, folks.
Michigan, Duke, let's go. The evil empires. We're just the evil empire basketball parlay today.
I hate it.
Yeah, it's really bad. It's really, really bad.